Blog Talk Radio.
To God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. For the Bible says in Romans 10:14-15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful a defeat of those who brings, who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Amen. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, Waiting on Me. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. And it says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalm 16, verse 11, in the New King James Version. And it says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, Waiting on Me, means directing your attention to me in hopeful anticipation of what I will do. It entails trusting me with every fiber of your being instead of trying to figure things out yourself. Waiting on me is the way I design you to live all day, every day. I created you to stay conscious of me as you go about your daily duties. I have promised many blessings to those who wait on me. Renewed strength, living above one's circumstances, reassurance of hope, awareness of my continual presence. Waiting on me enables you to glorify me by living in deep dependency on me, ready to do my will. It also helps you to enjoy me in my presence. Is fullness of joy. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and after that selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Unfortunately, Apostle Mother Wiggins is ill, and she could not be with us this morning. Amen. So I will bring the message in her place. Praise be to God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Allow His Spirit to come into your heart.
We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Messiah.
Worship you.
Yeshua.
Worship you.
Yeshua. Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah. Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Messiah.
Oh my God. Take your shoes off, for you're standing on holy ground. Bow down, don't make a sound. Hear the voice of Yahweh.
When your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So awesome. He's a sovereign God. So wonderful. He's a sovereign God. So powerful. He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God. So glorious. He's a sovereign God. So righteous. He's a sovereign God. Victorious. He's a sovereign God. A sovereign God. A sovereign God.
Worship at his holy mountain, for he's a jealous God. Bow down to the great I am, for he's a holy God.
Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So awesome. He's a sovereign God. So wonderful. He's a sovereign God.
Oh,
Amen. He is a sovereign God. My scripture reading for this morning is coming from John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 15. Amen. That's John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this chapter deals with Jesus feeds 5,000. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we would not have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" Excuse me. "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So he picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Praise be to God. Most of us have never seen a desperately hungry person because we cannot identify with the hunger. We lack compassion for them. Consider the anguish of parents who cannot afford enough food to quiet the hunger in their children's stomach. The issue is squarely before us. Hunger continues to be a worldwide problem. Even with aid programs, many Americans are hungry in the wealthiest nation on earth. Christians called to do in a world where people are hungry. Here are some suggestions. Let us pray. Holy Father, You have given us bread for our hunger. We eat every day and are filled. We want to thank you for your bountiful provision. We intercede on behalf of those who are hungry and offer our resources for their filling. Part of what we now bring to you, we dedicate especially to the feeding of the hungry, the aid of the poor. We thank you too for Jesus, who is the bread of life and is food enough for our spiritual hungers. In our goings and comings, may we eager and bold to share with others our greatest good gift, the invitation to salvation and new life in Jesus Christ. In his name we live. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from John 6 and 11 and the RSV, and it says, Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And my title for this message question is, what do you do for hungry people? So let's find out. Send the hungry people away. Although John did not mention this suggestion of the disciples to send the people away to the villages, all three of the synoptic gospels record it, and you'll find it in Matthew 14 and 15, and Mark 6 and 36, and Luke 9 and 12. John did note that Philip could see no way to help, just like some of us. We have it, but we don't see. Since all the disciples had was 200 denarii, a denarii equals one day's wages for a common laborer, which could not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little bite. In John 6 and 7. He was probably about ready to suggest that the people should go elsewhere for help. We often attempted to send trouble on down the road to find another person, who will help. Now, those of us who have plenty to eat do not want to be reminded of the hollow-eyed, hungry people who peered at us from the TV screen, magazines, advertisement, or church reports that call us to Christian response. You notice around every holiday season, is when they put these advertisements and pictures of children with flies flying around them and their stomachs protruding. And that is, to get you to send donations to those countries to feed the hungry. What happened to the rest of the year? Why just on holiday time? But that's another story, amen? And so mentally, we send them away by our crude suggestion that poor people are hungry because they won't work. And I heard that phrase so many times. Not many years ago, people proudly displayed the bumper sticker, "I fight poverty, I work," as commendable as it is that people work. The self-righteous attitude of a person who does not understand the complexities of the problem of hunger are revealed in that slogan. By that slogan we announced, send them away. It's all their fault. If they won't work, if they would work, they won't be hungry. But we must not send away the millions who died of starvation every year. Jesus said that we must care for them. Amen. Start a revolution. Ray Summers, in his book, Behold the Lamb, suggests that many in the large crowd would have liked for Jesus to start a revolution against the Roman oppressor, because that's what they were looking for, someone to come to stop the Romans, but that wasn't the reason why Jesus came. And John 6 and 15 makes it clear that there were men who were insistent that Jesus take up leadership and become king of the Jews in opposition to the hated foreign rule. By paying close attention to the synoptic accounts of this passage, you can note that Mark pointed out that they were in a lonely or deserted place. This would be ideal for a gathering of men who were intended on revolution. Mark also said that there was much coming and going, Mark 6 and 31, suggesting great activity caused by Jesus' appearance. Mark noted Jesus' observation that the crowd was like sheep without a shepherd, in Mark 6 and 34 in the RSV. This could have military allusions. Since in Numbers 27, 16 through 17, Moses spoke of his people as sheep without a shepherd. Unless the Lord appointed a man to lead them in and out, the Lord appointed Joshua as the leader of the Israel, the leader of Israel to succeed Moses. And this shepherd was indeed a general of the army. Notice finally that the crowd was almost all men in a lonely place in an occupied land like Philistine. 1,000 men wanting to make the charismatic leader their king would surely present a ready-made opportunity for revolution. But Jesus would not take the militant revolutionary way. It may be understandable when some do. They take all they can take and then rise up to say no more. It is wise for those who have bread to figure out a way to help those who don't. Lest the time come when no one has anything at all. Jesus, however, with all his compassion and appreciation for the agonies of injustice suffered by his people, knew that he could feed them, and he did. But the ultimate joy and salvation did not rest in his becoming a revolutionary leader, a bread and guns Messiah. People must have bread in John 6, 5 through 11, but people cannot live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4. Because bread is important. We ask for it each time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Share what they have. We need to pass the bread to everyone. We who have so much, even more than the boy who had but 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, are called upon to share. Jesus made it clear that he expects us to feed the hungry and give water to the thirsty, no matter how small and insignificant they may at first appear to us. Matthew 25:34-46. When we share, Jesus will hold our gifts in his hands and give thanks for it. John 6:11. Jesus knows how much can you come from so little. We cooperate with a God who is in the business of multiplying our gifts. What was shared and then blessed was enough and more. John 6:12-13. Sharing is not difficult if we remember that all we have comes from God in the first place. So don't think that it all belongs to you. When God blesses you, you bless someone else. Amen. Back of the loaf is the snowy flour. And back of the flour is the mill. And back of the mill is the wheat, the shower, and the sun, and the Father's will. Gandhi lived in the midst of debilitating hunger. Looking about him, he observed, "The earth has enough for every man's need, but not enough for every man's greed." Jesus gave the boy an opportunity to be a partner with him in feeding the hungry multitude. He gives us the same opportunity, but in order to do so meaningfully, we are going to have to learn to live more simple in order that others may simply live. Elizabeth Seton, but as Jesus knew, and as important as bread is, as necessary as it is, that we share our bread. People cannot live fully by bread alone. We are called to share with a hungry world bread for their physical hunger and the bread of life for their spiritual hunger. And my conclusion is, when we share what we have and know, Jesus blesses and multiplies it and make it enough. So share what you have. It is all you can do. You cannot give what you do not have. Share what you have. No one else can give what only you have to give. Although what you have to share may not seem to be much or even enough, you never know what God will do when you give him what you have. And it's not just bread alone, but it's but the word of God. When you have the word of God in you, share it with those who do not know. Amen. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen? Praise God. My benediction for this morning is coming from Jude 24 through 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, amen. At this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you. God be the glory.
God be all the glory, honor, and praise. I missed most of your words, but I caught that last part.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, thank you.
And it looks like maybe nothing to us, but to the recipient,
exactly.
It could be a whole world.
Amen. God be the glory.
I'm going to be reading from the Legacy of God, Spiritual Anthology and Poetry. And the name of this word.
I'm sorry, are you outside?
No, I'm on my Bluetooth, and that's the best way I can hear you.
Yeah, but we could barely hear you.
Is that better?
Yes. Amen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speakerphone.
Okay.
Take it, oh God. My God, when I think about how good you are to me, I just want to scream. Sometimes I can hardly understand it. I reflect on the things you have done in my life. God, truly, you are something else. I know you to be long-suffering with your love, your faithfulness, your favor, your mercy and grace, my deliverance from strife, giver of a second chance more than thrice. It makes me want to cry out, why? No, Lord, I'm your child, but you know I'm not worthy. And in spite of me, you love me. You died for me. You saved and redeemed me. You led me. You gently guided me. You know me, and still you came to save me, a sinner. You did it all for me so that I may be blessed and have the privilege to live eternally with you, God, the Father, and you, Christ Jesus. Yes, I know you did it all for me, unselfishly, without repentance, with the shedding of your precious blood. You died for me on the cold, cruel cross. Yes, you gave your life for me. Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I could not thank you enough. I can never repay you for your sacrifice, the price you paid for my salvation, for my life. But I thank you, God, Master, Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah, Holy Spirit, Redeemer, Savior, Abba Father, Daddy, soon coming King, Yahweh. And I give to you all that I have. Take it. Here is my heart. Amen.
Wow. That is beautiful.
Oh,
He's
God,
all
be all
those things. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much.
I missed the title. What was the title?
Take it. One moment. Take it, oh God.
Okay.
Take it, oh God. On page 74 when you get a moment.
Oh, okay. Take it, oh God, page 74. Thanks, because I want to read that again. it's just so beautiful.
Okay. Oh, God bless you.
Amen. So now we are going to be in our... Speaker is here, and we are going to start early today. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So now we are going to have Talk in the Sanctuary with our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose, led by God's Christian Ministry. Is going to come now with an awesome subject. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning? Unmute yourself. You're still on mute. We don't hear you. Oh, you must be in the wilderness. We still don't hear you. Oh. Well, I will play a short selection while we're waiting for Pastor Kathy to get her sound together. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay.
hands can't reach that far. I ain't made for rivalry. I can never take the world alone. I know that in my weakness I am strong, but it's your love that brings me home.
Again, for Pastor Kathy to get in. And I want to say good morning to my oldest son. God bless you. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your patience.
No problem. I didn't know my son was showing up this morning.
Yes. Can you hold that thought, please? Everybody hold the thought. Hold that thought because I am in the wilderness. So I got to hit it and quit it.
Praise
be to God. Good morning. Good morning. It is so awesome to be with you guys this morning. I tell you, I am in the wilderness. And you know what? I had the phone already, and I was on mute, and all of a sudden I couldn't get back to the phone. It was a lot. But anyway, we're going to get into what's going on today. It is awesome. I tell you, God put it in my spirit, a topic that required the viewpoints of some young men. And so I contacted a bunch of young men that I trust and love and to see if they would participate with us this morning. And I know three for sure said they would be on. And so we thank God for their attendance this morning and being willing to want to give us their viewpoints. We are in for such a treat this morning. We are in for a treat. But before I get into everything, I just need to do an attendance check. Is Deacon Buckin on the phone? Deacon Stephen, are you there?
Deacon, yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, you can hear me. God bless you. Is Elder Washington on the line? Okay, I'm going to have to hurt him. And he's the one that says, I'll be there. And is Minister Jerome on the line? Okay, you are? Thank you. God bless you guys. Oh, we in for a treat. Evangelist Hilda, is there any more outside callers that you can see yet?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you. When they join, they'll get in. Okay. We are so grateful to the topic that God has given us that requires us to hear from our young men. And I called my son, my nephew, I was calling everybody that I could think of that I love and knew would really pour their heart into it. So, ladies, we're in for a treat today. But before we get in there, you know me, I'm crazy. I'm in the wilderness just driving. But thank God for a headset. My son showed me how to drive a truck and the headset and keep it moving. So that's what I'm doing. I'm on a headset. I'm driving, and I'll keep it moving. Precious and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you, oh God, because you saw fit to give us another day, oh God, a day that was not promised but given. Thank you for life, health, and strength, opening up our eyes, oh God, allowing us to see another day. We are so forever grateful for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We bless your holy name right now. Father God, we invite you into this conversation that it will be spoken in love, oh God, that they will feel a platform where they can just relax and be open and share the things that are on their hearts to share, oh God. We thank you for all of them that are willing to get on and participate with us and share their viewpoints that it might help another brother, a mother, a sister, Father God, that it would be a blessing to someone. We invite you into this conversation today. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. Let everyone have a great, great, blessed time. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Evangelist Hilda. Good morning, Sister Barbara. Good morning. I'm going to say good morning to you now. Help me, Lord. You know I ain't got no sense. You can go drive. Thank you, Lord, for calming me down. Here is the top. Uh-oh. Thank you, Father. I got to give honor where honor is due. We thank God for our visionary of the line, Apostle R.D. Wiggins. Thank God for his lovely bride, Lady Nadine. Thank God for the host. And I mean, she's the hostess with the mostest. I'm trying to tell you, she is the backbone of Blog Talk Radio, Evangelist Hill, the awesome woman of God. We thank God for her diligence and her commitment to do what God has put before her to do, and then some. So we bless God for our very own Evangelist Hilda. We thank God for our very own Sister Barbara. Awesome poetry she brings forth every Saturday morning. And if you missed it this morning, you missed the treat. So we bless God for her. We thank God for Apostle Mother Wiggins in her absence. We thank God for the fivefold leaders. Even though they are in other parts of the vineyard doing the work of the Lord, we still lift them up in prayer so that they can continue to do what God has called them to do. We thank God for Pastor Stephen DuBose. Thank God for all of you joining, whether you're on the internet or on the telephone. Thank God that you did not think it robbery to get on with us today, to hear what thus says the Lord through these young men. So we thank you. Some of the men, if they join us later, some are Christians and some are not. God told me to invite men. He did not say they had to be Christians because he needs the viewpoint of men to be heard. Thank you, God. Did I say that right? Yes. The Holy Ghost said, you said it right. Thank you, God. He said, you said it right. It's for all men and all women because not only are the men going to bless one another, they are also going to bless the mothers and the sisters so we can get a better understanding of our role. Thank you. Oh, my God. This is awesome. I'm just so excited this morning. Y'all know I am. And I'm driving because I'm on my way to an Easter play rehearsal. But here we go. The question, and I told the guys, I told all of the men that I invited, I told them what the question was ahead of time. You know, so they could, I don't want to surprise them, even though some people think you get the best answers that way. I don't need that. Because no matter how they answer, it's going to be truthful. I'm inviting people that I know I can trust what they have to say. And so I bless God for my nephew and Evangelist Hilda's oldest son, Deacon Stephen Buck, and thank God for him. When I told him, he was like, okay, Aunt Kat. Yeah, Aunt Kat, I'm there. I said, I'll call you and remind. He said, I got you, Aunt Kat. I said, oh, my God. Don't you love it when they're willing to do it? And then, oh, I got to give my big boo a shout out. You know, I said to my son, Minister Jerome, and I know he's going, Mom, I'm going to kill you with that minister thing. Look, God didn't say you were a minister when you were in the church. God said you was a minister when I named you in your mother's womb. Come on now. So however long it takes you to get in, you still a minister because he already called. You still a deacon, Stephen, because he already had called you. So all of you guys, yes. Ha-ha! I need help, y'all. So we bless God because I know sometimes people take a beating because they're not in the church. And folks are saying, you ain't no deacon, you ain't no minister, you ain't no, how you know what I am? You ain't the creator. God is the creator. And the one that created me said, I called you in your mother's womb. He didn't say, I called you after you got in the church, Kathy. Hello. So even when Kathy was out there doing stuff she had no business doing, she was still a pastor in God's eye. Oh, my goodness, that a phase for another day. Today's topic, today's topic is, and we are going to let the young men participate first, and then I'll call on the ladies. The discussion is, does a mother's nurturing, because we know that's her nature. Mothers, naturally, they're going to nurture their children, whether they are boys or girls. But the question today is, when a mother is nurturing her son, and we all do it, we nurture our boys, you know. So we're loving on our sons and bringing them up the way we want to bring them up and teaching them and training them and doing all this stuff. But do mothers get in the way of fathers doing what they have to do to make sure they raise good, strong men? Do mothers get in the way with what they're doing, how they're bringing up the children? Do they sometimes get in the way of what the father needs to do to raise their sons to be good men? And we're going to start off with, and I know they're going, don't call me first, they're calling first. I am going to call you first. We're going to go with Deacon Stephen first. What are your thoughts, son? What do you think, nephew?
Well, first, praise be unto God, who is the leader of my life, the head of my household.
Go ahead on now. And thank you, God.
Y'all excuse my crazy aunt.
That's why he loves me. That's why he loves me.
Excuse my crazy aunt. So speaking on a man's perspective about women or the mother getting into the way, it just depends. It depends on if that mother is not letting that son have a relationship with his father. You know, we get a lot of that where the breakup, where the parents are separated and the mother resents that son, especially if that son looks like that father. So they get into a hindrance, you know, because you hear statements like, well, you're just like your daddy. And, you know, you're going to be just like your daddy. And you hear statements like that that is not really healthy for that child. Each child has a different personality.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you look like the father. It doesn't look like if, you know, they come from the same gene pool and all of that. It doesn't matter. That child has a responsibility. Let that child be a child. So when you take away the fatherhood from that child, the mother cannot raise that boy to be a boy because she doesn't understand. She doesn't know what it means to be a man. She doesn't have that. She's not there for that. The man is supposed to take care of that child and teach him manly ways. So, yeah, that can be a hindrance when that mother steps in and gets in the way. Like you said, mothers are there for nurturers. We get that. But if you have a godly perspective right out the gate, and I'm talking for Christian marriages now or Christian relationships now, if you have a godly perspective first, that God is the head of the household first, and if that mother can get on board and submissive, to be submissive now, you have to be a little submissive to that father. If he's a man that's loving God and he's hearing from him and he wants everything that God has for that relationship, just be a little submissive and listen to what he has to say. You know, he's going to take care of that child. He's going to take care of that household. He's going to even take care of that wife, because why? He loves God first. Now, if you have a wife that comes into play and she's the same way, you know, she loves her husband. Don't get me wrong, but guess what? She loves God first. Oh, my God.
That's right. Amen.
You have a blossoming relationship that will never end.
Praise God.
Mm. I just need a few minutes just to get myself together.
Amen.
Them so you can respond in a minute. Let's go to Minister Jerome. Let's hear what you have to say. What are your viewpoints on a mother as she's bringing up her children, and specifically the sons today? Does she get in the way sometimes of a man raising his son to be a strong man? What are your viewpoints?
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank
you, God.
I believe that it she can overstep her boundaries at times, but it also depends on the dynamic of the household, you know. Mm-hmm. I could speak on as far as the parents, both parents being in the picture. That's what I had. Thank God.
Thank you, God.
But if the father is falling behind in doing his part, then at that time, I believe the mother and the mother need to talk to the father to have that conversation. Okay, well, babe, I need you to start, you know, doing step one, step two, step three with our son, you know. But then after they have that conversation, if he doesn't adhere to that, you know, then I don't see it being a problem that her, you know, taking the reins and doing what she needs to do to a certain extent, you know. But at the same time, I believe, like I said, it's the dynamic of the family. Some fathers aren't going to be, you know, full fathers. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Their fathers can be present, but still not be present.
Mm.
Now, as far as me, as far as I'm concerned, my father, I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. You know, sometimes, you know, being a father now, you learn from your parents. And this was a situation where he was there, but sometimes I see where he dropped the ball. And I'm not down on him or nothing. I'm just learning from it, you know. So I try to build that position. So, excuse me, let me sit up for a second. I try to learn from what, you know, being a man now, being a father, and what I see my father not doing, or when my mother would go and she would, my dad be like, no. And my mother would go and be my mother. Come here, son. Come on. Let's not tell daddy. You know, and sometimes possibly, you know, overstepping the boundaries, but that's what I mean. It's like the household, the dynamic, you know. But I thank God for the times when she did take the reins, because we wouldn't experience the things that we experienced, if that makes sense. Because my father, a lot of times, was like, nah, he wasn't with it. He was not with it. But then my mother, or my mother, as y'all see, being my mother, would sometimes be like, come on, guys, come on. You got let's do what we need to do, you know. And, but, you know, it's really based on communication. You know, you got the parents have to talk. Like I said, I can only speak on the fact of both parents being in the household, you know. And as long as there's communication, it's just, and both parties adhere to what's going on, what they want for both from their kids, then I think it should be all right.
Okay.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Wow, that's deep.
All right. So until we get back to you guys, y'all can put your phones on mute if you got any background noises going. But you guys have said an earful this morning. Now, I'm going to get back to, ladies, I'm going to give you a chance to get in there. But first, I want to get back to Deacon Stephen. When you said that, if a man, this was really good. If he is following Christ, right, living the lifestyle that is, he's a Christian and he's following Christ, then women, we need to be submissive and let him do what he do because he's already loving on God. So that's number one. That's in his favor, right, that he's loving on God. And so you brought up that point, Deacon Stevens, that if that man is loving on God, that's all the more reason for you to be submissive and allow him to train up that child with you. Right? And you also said that there was a lot of things that women can't teach guys or the boys or the men. They can't teach them because they don't know they're women. You know, we're built differently. So you brought out the point that, yes, women need to get out the way sometimes because we can't teach you what a man could teach you or your father could teach you, you know. And so it can be a hindrance if she doesn't get out of the way and let him do what he's supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanna ask Deacon Stephen, and I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything. I do know that you too, you grew up with both of your parents in a home as well. And so, you know, let me tell you this. When you get on a Christian hotline or any hotline, it's supposed to be a safe place, okay? And the reason why I say that is because you shouldn't feel like you can't say everything you're feeling. You can be wide open and say what you're feeling because we need to know. That's how we grow. Don't hold anything back. Don't, you know, and I could hear Minister Jerome, he was like, well, I don't want to, you know, throw my dad in. No, we're not throwing anybody under the bus. We're trying to learn so we can do better with our grandkids, with your kids, you know, other mothers, other young men that are coming up. So feel free. This is a platform that you can really discuss what we need to discuss because Christians have a lot hard time opening up in arenas, and because they don't, they suffer. Because they don't get educated in those areas. They don't get released from rejection of the dad. They don't get the things that they need. So this is the time that I need you guys to just tell us. So we'll know. We're all mothers. Tell us so we'll know. So we can do better with the grandkids and you with your kids and telling other women that are coming up. So Deacon Stephen, with you being in a household with both of your parents, I want to ask you, and I'll get back to Minister Jerome in a minute. I want to ask you, how was that? Did your mother do her part and then your dad do his part, or how did you find it? Because nowadays, it's kind of hard to find a two-parent household. So when we find
That's
the
true.
Ones that have been or are in a two-parent household, we want to hear from them. Having both your parents there. So tell us whatever you want to share. You don't have to share it if you don't want to. Share whatever you want to share. What it was like having both your parents in the home and the roles that they took on to train you that helped you with your 1,000 girls on display. But that boy got a lot of daughters. I ain't lying. He got a lot of daughters. So he had to be trained how to take care of those girls. Because he got, when I look on Facebook and I see it with all those girls, and he has done an awesome job with those girls. So you can see the smiles on their face. You can hear their comments. They love their dad. So thank God for this young man. Thank God for Minister Jerome. What you guys are doing as fathers right now with your children. So Deacon Stephen, tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up in a two-parent household. What were the benefits of having both of them around? And how is it helping you now to raise your daughters?
So having two parents in the household, mother and a dad in the house was, okay, that's basic. That's for any child that's growing up. They know that they have a mom and they know that they have a dad. I heard you say earlier that a lot of relationships or marriages now don't have that. They have either a mom or a dad. They're split up. So to be honest with you.
Or blended families, like I said, too, sometimes.
Or blended families. That's true. That's what's going on a lot now, too. So it was the best of both worlds. You had your dad, you know, as a man to train you in a way that a man needed to. And then you had mom always as a nurturer. You know, you have to have that nurturing in there. So, you know, days that you felt down or you felt bad, you can always go to your mom and talk to her to, you know, for her to lift your spirits up, to get you back where you need to be, to have that chip on your shoulder. And then you went to your dad, you know, when you needed to find out things about manly things. So you had the best of both worlds. You had answers on both sides. So when one is missing, of course, that's right, there's a balance there. So when one is missing, of course, you're going to lack something there. And like you said, it's a lot of pressure on the moms these days that's raising sons by themselves. You know, hats off to them, you know, because they are doing both of it. They are trying to raise that boy to keep him out of the streets, to keep him on a straight path. Because if they don't find it at home, they're going to find it out there in the streets. They're going to find that man that's going to be on that corner to say, well, yeah, you know, your daddy ain't around. So guess what? You know, I'll be your daddy. Or, you know, it's just so much that teenagers and young people are going through right now. But as far as me having all girls, since you don't put me on blast, I always tell people the Lord had a sense of humor.
Yes, he did.
He had a sense of humor. And I had girls for the reason of, and I believe this with all of my heart, is in my generation, and like you said, this is Blog Talk Radio, we ain't holding nothing back. So in our generation, the men on my dad's side, all of them were womanizers. I'm going to just be honest with you.
Amen.
You know, they went from women to women, women to women. Anything that satisfied them, that was fine. But guess what? That's a generational curse.
Amen.
So this is the time where this generation – it's not going to go past that.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, give me strength to answer this question.
Give him strength, Lord God.
Holy Spirit, have you awake. And we just praise God just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes.
Thank
you, God. And we give God, all the glory.
Right now, you know
all the praise, God.
You know what he's been through.
God. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place right now. Have your way on this phone call in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Lord, we give you all part and all praise. There's so much that's going on. There's so much hurt that's going on in between relationships and fathers and sons and daughters, God. We want to break that generational curse because that's what it is. I've been praying and fasting. Now that we're on this call, I've been praying and fasting that, oh, God, we will send this, the next generation will not have to go through what we went through. The next generation will live healthy and prosperous lives.
Yes.
The next generation will have mothers and fathers in their relationships that love will surpass all evil in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mm. Praise your holy name, Father.
God, I give you all praise and honor. So it's a generational curse. So it has to stop somewhere. And I made a promise to God that I said, God, you open my eyes every day to see another day. And
yes.
In my relationship, I tell my girls all the time, I will always be there for you, always, no matter what. I don't care if you're in a late night hour. I got a daughter that's in college right now. She's out there by herself. She calls me 1:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I answer that phone because she just needs that love. She needs that encouragement. She needs that, Daddy, I need help. Push me on. Push me, Daddy. She needs that. And that's where we want to get our men to understand that, you know what? God has put you on this assignment for a reason.
God bless you.
You're going to raise your child. If you're struggling, reach out to another man, you know, especially if you're on the same page.
Reach out to another man
for help. You know, there's always going to be help where you look for it at. But I made a promise to God that I will break this generational curse. It's going to stop with me. It's not going to go on with anybody else in this relationship. So God said, you know what? I ain't giving you no boys. I'm going to give you girls.
Hallelujah.
That's what he said. I'm going to give you girls that's going to love the Lord, and they're going to find men that loves the Lord because they know what to look for now. They see the quality that the children recognize that. And they say, you know, I want a friend like that. She has a mom. I want to that he spent, you know, that is me and do this together. But as the spirit is moving, I'm just talking, you know.
Praise God.
But yeah, so getting back to Jerome, I heard what you said about, you know, your dad. You said you didn't want to put him on blast, you know, and you had mom there. Mom was that nurturer. She had to, you know, when she sees things that's going on in that household that's out of line, mm-hmm. guess what? Mom is there to put it back together. Because I'm going to tell you, being married 19 years and counting, in my second marriage, this is not my first marriage. The first marriage, mm-hmm. I swear to you, it was a demon or a spirit from God, from the devil, to be honest with you. That was mm-hmm. the place in my life, because to go down that road, but God saw a fit and said, nope, this stops here. This ain't going to go no further the way it's at. And he put another woman in my life, to be honest with you. And when you know, you know. When I met this woman, I said to myself, God, this is her. This is it. We meshed together, and we've been just flourishing one day at a time. It's like he took the whole household, turned it upside down, shook it out, and then placed it back down on a solid foundation. That's what he did in my life. So now my testimony to, you know, the next man that's coming up behind me is the same. I don't have no problem sharing anything that you need to know. You can ask me anything that you need to know. I'll tell you where I was and where we're at now. And it ain't nobody but God that's got us on this path that we're on now. We raise our children the best way that we can. You know, you have to get into a quiet place. You have to get to the heart of God. You have to do that. There's no thing, nowhere else to go. You have to have that full relationship with God to hear from him, you know. That means attending your Bible studies. That means, you know, every time the church doors are open, being there, because that's how you learn. That's how you're going to grow, you know. Right. You don't want to stay in the milk stage forever. You know, you're trying to get meat.
Yes.
You're trying to, you know. And there's a lot of that's going on right now. And the men still on the bottle, you know.
Right.
We got to get out of that stage, you know. Once you get into your mindset that, you know what, I am a man of God, and I'm going to move this thing forward the best way I can. You get that attitude. That's what wakes you up in the morning. That's what gives you your motivation to do what you have to do out there in this world to provide for that family.
Well, you're right. Well, you're right about that.
You know. Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else matters but hearing from God, because at the end of the day, salvation is what is needed. at the end of the day, when this whole thing is over, mm-hmm. you know, you got to ask yourself that question, where am I going to end up? Where is my family going to end up? That's all that matters.
Right.
If you can get that, if you can get that mindset, guess what? Nothing else matters. If you see something lacking, you fix it. You see something, if your wife is lacking in something, guess what? Help her up. Talk to her about it. You help her fix it.
That's right. That's the
only
way
we were created to do. That's right. That's what we were created to do. So mothers, single mothers that's out there that's listening right now, you know, hats off to you, but continue. Don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. God is going to send somebody your way because you wasn't meant to do it by yourself.
Amen.
You know, look for the qualities. Ask God for those qualities. Ask God to give you wisdom to see in that man. What, and then find out, another thing with women too, to be honest with you, find out that that man or that boyfriend that you want to get into a relationship with, find out about his family. Find out his relationship. Find out his background, because what's happening is we're jumping into these relationships and we don't know nothing about these men. And then you find out, unfortunately, at the end or halfway through that, you know what? This wasn't the joker for me, and now y'all got a child together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, case in point, I have a my wife has a niece right now that they got into a relationship over just being out there in the world. You know, partying, having a good time. But then when she had her child, something changed, and she knew it. She said it. Something changed. She don't want to go that route no more. She don't want to do the things that she used to do. But guess what? The boyfriend or the baby daddy now is like, okay, well, why are you starting to change? This is not the person that, you know, I met with. But he doesn't understand that when you met it, when y'all met and y'all was in relationship, you was under influence. Drugs, alcohol, weed, all that is influence. That's not your true self. So when you wake up one morning and you snap your finger and you look at this person that you're laying next to and you say, oh, my God, what did I just do? The child is involved now. Now we got a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So how we're mentoring that young lady is, she's in the church with us now. She actually joined the church 2 Sundays ago. She's coming to her Bible study. She wants to do what she has to do for her child. Now, guess what? If that boyfriend wants to stay with her and see what she's about, guess what he's going to do? He's going to follow her in time.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't and he wants to stay the ways of the world, then guess what? He's going to go his way. That's one good observation to see if your baby daddy or your boyfriend wants to be in your life. When you make a conscious decision to say that, you know what, I'm going to follow God, see if he follows. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to let Mr. Jerome come in because I could go all day now. I'm good. I'm good now.
We haven't heard from caller 704-635. What is your
Hey, Pastor Kathy.
Pastor Kathy is still trying to get back in. She got she's in the wilderness.
Okay.
We're waiting for her, but what are your thoughts?
Okay, so basically my thoughts is that it's a two-way street. Okay, so something that everybody goes 100% when they're raising a boy is that for him to, they nurture the skill of him becoming a provider. So oftentimes, being is already inbred as little boys that if they provide, then they can get a pass for every single thing else. And then the other thing that I feel that we are victim to is that as we get older, you know, we've already been beneficiaries of seeing the grace of God. So we all know that in the end, it's going to work itself out in the way that it's supposed to. So oftentimes, when you see little boys, they get into the dating years as teenagers, you know, and they may be entertaining multiple girls. Sometimes it's perceived for the father who wants his son, you know, to be straight, he's applauding that behavior. The mothers, you know, are applauding the same behavior. So what happens is, and they all know, we all know our reference points say, well, later on he'll figure it out. That's why women learn early, and we're always nurturing them to be a whole person. And it's so much emphasis to place with a boy on if you can earn, you can do everything else. And we basically have not taught them accountability. So as they get older, now they meet someone's daughter who's been raised the right way, and she say, oh, this is unacceptable behavior. And so now she meets that guy, and now this guy, he's going to get rid of her. Now, she was the best thing ever, best thing in the world for him, but he gets rid of her because he's already been taught that he can pretty much do whatever he want to do as long as he can financially do what he's supposed to do. And then there are a lot of females who've seen their mothers accept that same type of behavior, so therefore they are accepting of that same type of behavior.
Right.
So actually,
right.
We both are perpetuating the same behavior, which ends up leading every man gets 40, I'm 45, about to turn 45, every man turns 40 years old, and then now they see the world, and it's crystal clear to him, and now he looks back and say, I wish I didn't do all that. But we still got these boys keep doing the same behavior over and over and over again, and everybody, we're not learning new lessons. We're repeating the same lessons and making the same mistakes, and therefore just progressively as men, we're not moving forward. And so I think there needs to be a different level of accountability for our boys, like basically the same accountability that we apply to women. See, and that whole attitude towards men, that's not a you keep using the word nurturing, but nurturing means to, for me, my definition is that you are protecting this thing that has to grow on all areas. You know what I'm saying? So women, we're trying to protect them, not beating the wrong guy. You know, how to carry yourself, how to dress, how to be respectful, how to perform in every environment. And then so this boy is going to be penalized for what he just hadn't been nurtured to do. And therefore, we see why our incarceration is so high, because that's forced accountability once you're incarcerated. So we all have to learn it the hard way. Some of our most successful people are people who have come out of, our successful men who have come out of some type of hardship. Everybody got this bad story and this once upon in life when I was this way. And then as much as you scream and yell, right, the other people who are not listening and the same boys, it's hard for me to see. You know, I deal with a lot of young people, and it's recycling the same thing. And then the mothers, you know, our grandmothers who dealt with some of the same behaviors say, oh, don't worry about that man. You know, when he get older and he figure it out, you couldn't push him off. So it's that mentality that has thrown us off. And I think we do it, and we're not even conscious that we're doing it.
That's true.
I mean, that's my take on it.
Who's that speaking right now? Who was that speaking?
Kevin.
I knew it was all the Washington. He made it, John. I got toned out. I couldn't hear nothing coming through the woods.
You didn't want to hear me.
Absolutely, I wanted to hear you. That's why I invited you, son. I wanted to hear all of you. And I am so, because I couldn't. But you know what? Sometimes God will use you to set a platform, and it's not for you. It's for the others.
Amen.
So I'm okay, because I was coming through the wilderness, and I couldn't hear nothing. And I went, Lord Jesus, said the ones that need to hear it are hearing it. So I bless God that I was able to get back on to hear that Elder Washington is on the line, because he already know I'm going to go bazooki on him for not getting on. But he showed up. So thank God. The part that I heard from the three men, you guys have truly blessed us. And I pray that it's been a blessing for you to share with.
Oh, boy. She's going through the woods again.
You know what your viewpoint is? mothers need to know, sometimes we got to move out of the, not sometimes. If there's a man in the house, like Deacon Steven said, if there's a man in the house doing what he's supposed to be doing, and that is loving on the Lord, come on now, and he's providing for his family, loving on his family, then women, you got to get out of the way and let them do what they're supposed to do. And that includes me. Most of y'all know that my daddy was West Indian, so his whole thing was teaching us how to be independent, how to take care of ourselves, which is not always a good thing for a woman, because then you're really getting in the man's way.
Amen.
So, well, we need to go get this. And he take his time. He goes, hey, I don't need you to get it for me. My daddy told me how to drive. I can go get it for myself. You know, you say, let's put this in the house. Oh, he don't put it in the house. I can put it up myself. My daddy showed me how to nail things to the wall. You know, so I understand where a woman can get in a man's way at times, not just with his son, but in the household, period. Because I'm telling you, some of the things that my daddy taught me, even though I loved it and I was grateful, it caused me to get into my husband's way at times, a lot of times. There were times when, and my son could tell you, he's on the line, Minister Jerome, he could tell you, at 12 years old, I had that boy learning how to drive. At 13, he was on the highway. I didn't wait for his dad. His dad looked up. He seen that boy driving his Z. He said, what are y'all two doing? Had the T-tops out. He said, Kathy, have you lost your mind? You got that boy in a Z28. What are you doing? I said, he didn't learn how to drive. He said, not in this car. I said, exactly what my daddy said. I said, it's just a car. Because you know what? When my dad was teaching us how to drive, his wife at the time was saying, Gerald, the kids are in the Cadillac driving. He said, and? In the Cadillac? Let them get in that little piece of car right there. He said, they need to know how to drive any kind of car. And my son could tell you, by the time he was 15, he was driving cross country like I was. When I was 15, my daddy had me driving from New York to South Carolina. So I did the same thing with my son, right? Because I'm using what my father taught me. My mother taught me how to cook, how to clean, how to take care of me. My daddy said, man, you need to take care of yourself. I said, okay. But it hurts you because you get in a man's way and you don't allow him to do the part that he's supposed to be doing. Granted, there are times when you're not getting in the way. He's just not doing it, right? Especially with our young men. There's days when they got to go football practice, basketball practice, here, there. My kids was in everything. And sometimes 2-3 practices in one day. And my husband's like, what you going to, basketball, football, or baseball? And my sons, they were so crazy. They looked at me like, all of them? Today? Yeah. Kathy, I don't know why you signed them up for all this mess. They don't need all this. Just pick one. And my sons, they were so funny. See, this is the part where I say, do mothers get in the way? Because my son, they was hearing their dad, but they looked at me like, Mom, we all going to rehearsals, right? We going, ain't we? And he gonna be, yeah, we going. So all three. And my husband went and took a seat in the living room. He said, you done lost your mind taking them to all these practices. And because the boys were kind of close in age, there are times when we had to run over here, take JJ, run over there, take Corey, come back, take JJ to something else. It was just crazy. Everyone was running. Because the boys kept looking at me going, Mom, we going, ain't we?
Oh, no. You gone again? Come back.
come back. Come back. Okay, Pastor Kathy is in the wilderness. She got dropped again, so we give her a minute to get back in. If anyone else have anything that they want to add to what Pastor Kathy was saying.
That's all I can do. Is what I can.
Okay, so we got 11 minutes, so we're waiting for Pastor Kathy to get back in. I'm sure she's still talking and don't realize that she's dropped. She'll be back, hopefully.
Well, I do want to say one more thing. I think sometimes, women get scrutinized with them, taking on some of the roles that a man traditionally was supposed to be taking on. But mm-hmm. oftentimes, we saying you're taking over, you're taking a role, or you're being like a man. But really, it's a controlled, intentional controlled reaction to say, the path of least resistance is for me to just step in and try to fill this void. The woman can always see it better than the man because, remember, she's been raised whole from the beginning. So she knows what's supposed to be taking place. And so sometimes that father may not, whether he's all the way present, somewhat present, or whatever the case may be, he just may not see the whole entire picture. And then sometimes, then when the father finally sees it, the mother has been so accustomed to being in that particular role that now when he tries to intervene, then it causes mm-hmm. conflict in between those two. But, she saw it the whole entire time. Maybe she didn't know how to actually really know the implementation that she was going trial by error. But needless to say, sometimes it just kind of gets pulled into, get classified as something that's negative, right? But there's some things, it's just right. What it is. Yes. I mean, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, that's true. Ma, do we have any women online that want to input? Because we haven't heard from any of the women yet.
Sister Barbara, do you have any comments that you want to make on the subject?
Good morning to everybody.
Morning.
I just want to say briefly that everything I heard was well said, praising the Lord and all of that, giving honor to whom honor is due. But I just want to say that when we get into relationships, especially if it's leading to marriage, all of those things ought to be discussed. Okay. Who's going to do this? Are we going to follow the Lord? Are we going to, not follow the Lord? Are we going to church? Are we going to raise our children if we are blessed to have them? In a godly way.
Thank you.
Excuse me?
Will you say, Pastor Kathy? Oh, boy. We can't hear you. No, you're in the wilderness still.
Yeah, so y'all can't hear me at all?
Now we do.
Oh, thank you guys for joining the call. I'm so sorry I missed half of it. I
yes,
understand
you
what you guys are saying, but, and I appreciate it because I'm one of those women that I know I got in the way. I really do. And it was because of the way that my father brought me up. So I know I got in the way some of the time, but some of the times I was just picking up the slack. Right? So it's not always that the women are getting in the way. Sometimes they believe they're picking up the slack because the dad is falling short in some areas. And so someone's got to continue to train that child. Someone's got to continue to show that child. And we did the best we could. And I know, even though sometimes
We don't hear you at all, Pastor Kathy. And I just want to say that this was truly a wonderful subject, and it should have been when our speaker was not in traveling mode, because it's hard to, you know, hear everything that's going on. But our young men, you guys, was right on point. You are excellent. I love the way that you presented your situation and how you was raised, with some with both parents, some with one parent. And even like with my kids, I always, from when they were small, raised them in a Christian home, whether they stayed a Christian or not. But I wanted to instill that side in them, and so when they grow up and they want to go back into the church, then they will know who God is and who his son is. So I'm very grateful for that, and I just want to thank you guys for such a beautiful and wonderful presentation of Do Men and Women Get in Each Other's Way or in Their Children's Way. So I want to thank you all for that. And I want to thank Sister Barbara for her input, and apologize for Pastor Kathy with all the dropping and in and out, but God is good, and everyone that is on social media where this program is being presented, God bless them for not finding it robbery to hear what had to be said this morning. So, Pastor, we lost Pastor Kathy again. But anyway, God bless you. And I'm going to ask Deacon Stephen Buchan if he would pray us out as we're coming to a closing of this part of our program for this morning. Call to salvation and benediction. Amen.
Amen. Eternal and everlasting God, we thank you for the call that we were on this morning. We thank you for everyone that participated. We thank you for the outpouring of information that needed to get out in this capacity. So we ask that you continue to bless us, continue to bless our family, continue to bless the young men, continue to bless my Aunt Kathy as
thank you.
She's been traveling. We ask that you help us to keep our hearts and minds continued on you. So, God, keep a hedge of protection over our families. Keep a hedge of protection over our jobs and communities. We ask that, God, that whoever is not saved, that we ask that they will come running to find salvation, to find out who they are in you, God. So we continue to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You guys hear me now? Beautiful.
Yes,
Pastor Kelly.
God bless you, Pastor Deacon Stephen, for that wonderful.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you, guys. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry up and get my two pennies in before I get cut off again. Thank you, guys, for joining. I know it was an awesome, awesome conversation, that the fact that you guys enlightened us about women getting in the way. And sometimes dads can get in the way, because like I started saying, my dad got in the way he taught me, you know. He was teaching me that I didn't really need a man to do it on my own, which is we really cannot. We depend on one another. Men need women. Women need men. That's what God said. We need each other. And there's certain things women can do that men can't. So So thank you guys for sharing, opening up your heart on this platform just to let us know what your viewpoint is about women nurturing their sons and mothers getting in the way of the dads doing what they're supposed to do. Sometimes it's true, women do get in the way, and sometimes they're just picking up the slack because the man is not doing what he should be doing. But, you know, either way, I think that when you got a household where mother and father are there and there is a balance, thank God. That's all you can do is say, thank you, Jesus. You got a man and a woman together in the house, training up a child in the way they should go. That's the time to say, thank you, God. Because like Deacon Stevens said, you are getting the best world. You get in the man's point of view, how to be a man. You get in the woman's point of view, how to love on women and love on God and yourself. And think highly. Most men get the beat down. You ain't going to be nothing. You're going to be like your daddy, just like Deacon Stevens started out to say. And thank God that they are taught you are better than that. You are not your father. You are your own individual. You are your own individual self. You are the one God created you to be. And so, you know, thank God that someone is around to let them know, no, you're better than that. You know, your father may have fallen short, may not have. I might have gotten in the way. Who knows? But you are better than that. God has called you to be so much more. I look at Elder Washington. I have to say this before I get cut off. I'm trying to tell you, this man works with young men all day long. He's teaching them football. He's in social services. He's all over the place. But I tell you, he's always giving them godly counsel. And they may not be his natural sons, but they are his sons because he is teaching them what it's supposed to be like as a man. Don't just give up on life. Don't give up on yourself. You keep going. You can do better. And so I applaud him, and that's one of the reasons I want him on the line. You got Minister Jerome. I wanted him on the line because he's around a bunch of young men, and they're looking at him. This is the wonderful part. Even though he doesn't say much, the guys are looking at him, his lifestyle, and what he's not doing. And it's blessing them because they're like, wow, this dude, he don't even get himself in no trouble. You know, he ain't out there trying to get with other women. He just stuck on his wife. So even when you're not saying nothing, you're still saying something. So thank God for you guys getting on the line and sharing what you shared with us today. It has blessed me because it made me realize I did get in the way a lot of times. I know I did. But it was because that's what I knew to do. My daddy showed me what to do, and I did it. Now, I know that there was a time when Deacon Stephen, he came to me, he had to be 14 or 15, and his dad had secretly been teaching him how to drive or something. And he came in, he said, we were all going to my house. He said, I said, come on, I'm driving this car, so you could get in this car. He said, you driving or am I driving? I said, ooh, no, you ain't driving. He said, well, I can drive, Aunt Cat. I said, yeah, well, not today. Get your little self in the back. And I mean, he was standing his ground. He was like, well, let me get in the car with Dad because I'm getting in somebody's car that's going to let me drive because it was like two or three vehicles going in the same direction. And his thing was, I'm getting in somebody's car. So you got to train up a child in the way they should go. And I thank God that my son, Minister Jerome, my nephew, Deacon Stephen, my son, my son through spiritual, Elder Washington, you can tell these three young men have learned something over the years because when you hear them sharing it with other young people, not just the men, but women too, so they don't be so down on themselves. Thank God for you guys. I love you guys. Thank you for taking the time to join us this Saturday. I'm hoping that I can get you guys once a month on different topics. I love you guys. I know we're out of time. Thank you, Evangelist Hilda. Thank you, Sister Barbara, for picking up the flag when I couldn't get on the line. I love you guys. It has been a great, great conversation. You guys have a great, great day. I love you. God bless you. I did hear Deacon Stephen praying, so thank God we had a closing prayer.
Yes.
I pray that everybody got something out of this day. I really do. I love
Good
you
time.
Guys. And next time, next month, hopefully you'll invite other guys to get on. And it won't just be conversation for men. It's for men and women. So we can all learn from each other. Amen? I love
Amen.
You guys. Have a safe day. It looks like our phone's trying to cut off. You guys know I love you. And Elder Washington, thank you for getting on the line. I know he said, she knows Saturday, that's when I go make my change. But thank God you put your change aside and you came and got on, because what you said was valuable. What you said was valuable. Minister Jerome, what you said was valuable. All of you young men made this day worthwhile. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist Hilda, Sister Barbara. Thanks for picking up the slack when I was in the wilderness. Love you guys.
You're welcome. Have a blessed day, everybody. Love you
love
guys.
You all.
Love, love you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Love you.
Love you,
God bless
son.
God bless you. Love you too, mommy.
Okay. And we are...
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.